Well, this is the Advanced Activist Advisory, the Canadian Coalition of the Walking Wounded and the American Coalition of the Walking Wounded. I'm Alex Hunter, your host, and co-hosting is Werner Bock. And we have special guest Vinny Eastwood on. He's got several radio shows and YouTube channel and a Facebook page. Guerrilla with one R, media.nz. New Zealand's alternative media is one. Capital M, little lowercase r, capital N-E-W-S, Guerrilla Media on YouTube. That's all one word. So Mr. News Guerrilla Media on YouTube. Vinny Eastwood on Facebook, and that's Guerrilla Media, Mr. Vinny Eastwood. And then
it's Guerrilla Media, Mr. News.
Mr. News, sorry about
so
that.
It's, hold on a second. Let me see if I can get it. It's facebook.com/ Guerrilla Media, one word, and it's only got R with Guerrilla, dot Mr. News. Like, hello, I'm Mr. News, MR News. Easy.
Perfect. Okay. So have a bit on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. So there's a bunch of places to go to find Mr. Vinny Eastwood. And he has a very good positive disposition and way of putting things so that he can keep you buoyant as he talks about the lighter side genocide. How are you, Mr. Eastwood?
Well, I'm really, really good and extremely busy and in demand and on top and kicking ass, bro. No, seriously, dig this, Alex. I just came off live off of my show, managed to shovel a bowl of leftover pasta that I cooked for the missus last night down and grab some coffee. And here I am on your radio show. And we've got, like, what, 2 hours now? Yeah?
Yeah.
Dang, that's awesome. Because a couple of weeks ago, I'd been asking American Freedom Radio, please give me an extra hour a day because 2 hours a day ain't enough. I'm getting too comfortable. I'm getting bored. It's not a challenge. You talk to people and you say doing 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, as though it's nothing, it is such a statement because I think, like, most radio shows fail within the first year because of the exorbitant workload. And that's if they're just hosting, let alone doing all the editing, all the uploading, all the web design, all the organizing, all the producing, I do everything. And it's nothing to me. And I'm just a natural at this. A natural. And what people have begin to do is realize this, that I've got something really good going for me. I have blazing trails in each and every direction that I see fit. I cannot lose, basically. I'm like Parker Lewis in that sense of the word, from the TV show Parker Lewis Can't Lose. There's another element to this, is I can't actually do any of this at all without the huge amount of support, mostly financial, but also in other ways, like bringing me beer or taking me out to see a movie or taking me out for coffee and stuff like that. You become the recipient of charity, essentially, in this movement. That's what I've found. And the most important thing about sacrificing your time, your life, and your career's prospects for the truth is that you now have to accept charity at every conceivable opportunity. Take the money. If somebody's giving you $20 because you're giving them some DVDs to support your cause, by all means, take that money because you need it to keep working. And so many people, this is why a lot of radio shows fail within the first year, because they're too proud to accept the support of people. Okay? So on the one hand, I'm doing the kind of work by myself that an entire media team cannot do to the same quality and level of effect that I'm doing. But at the same time, I am being humbled by how much on a razor's edge I have lived these past 5 years exposing the truth about things. absolutely on a razor's edge. Like, every day that a bill comes in, when I got nothing, okay, I will think, oh my goodness, there's a week to pay off that bill. Where the hell is that money going to come from? And then instantly a donation in virtually the exact same amount will come in without me even talking about it, asking about it, or even talking to anybody else. Right? That was just something inside my head, something that was freaking me out, wondering how I'm going to keep doing the radio show, wondering how I'm going to continue giving New Zealand activists and others from around the world coverage on an international level on 26AM FM affiliates. And more to the point, what would happen to me if I didn't have this radio show, if I didn't have this audience, if I had to go and get a regular job in order to feed myself? I can't do that. I cannot. And it's a simple thing, like the first three jobs that I had in telecommunications were my last three jobs that I had in telecommunications. You know what I'm saying? There's a reason for that, because every single one of them, there was stuff going on that I didn't like, and I'd wind up having to leave for one reason or another. First one was doing residential telesales. I'd call people up in the while they're in the middle of dinner and stuff like that, and I had a 50% strike rate. One in two people who picked up that phone would sell what I was selling them. I had the absolute 100% convincing, truthful gift of the gab, and the bonus was I was truthful, and I didn't lie to anybody in order to execute my job properly. However, despite that, I saw a whole bunch of other people around me who weren't being quite so honest, who weren't being quite so forward, and instead using their talents to manipulate people into doing what they wanted rather than telling the person the truth and using that to manipulate themselves into wanting the thing that is best for them. And if I didn't encounter somebody who was able to, like, save money on their toll calls or whatever stuff like that that I was doing, I would actually be able to consult with them over the phone just for free, because I knew all the competitors and all of that sort of stuff. I got to know the entire industry while everybody else was just sitting there, and the only thing that they glanced at was a page on a phone book with numbers to call endlessly. I was going out and I was bringing in more information, more credibility into the game, and so they promoted me. Only to, and at the time I was telling them, look, I can't do this kind of sales game anymore. I really can't. It's not what I want to do. So they gave me another sales job and called it being a business account manager. You know how many business accounts I managed? Zero. Okay? It was just cold calling, except instead of cold calling to people at home and helping the individual people out, I was cold calling to businesses and trying to help them out. And I just didn't want to do it. I'd walked around the whole company, you know, all three floors of it, gotten to know people in all the different eclectic areas that are like business account managing through to telesales people and people in provisioning and all of these other different things like customer care and things that you'll find at a telecommunications company. And I saw the same problems with the company that being expressed by all the workers on an almost consistent basis. So I spent some time actually writing a 7-page essay about what was wrong with the company and all of these different sectors and parts of it, how to improve staff retention and all of these other things. And what I found was they didn't care. They called us all into this big, nice boardroom. You know, the guy who's like the second in charge of the company with all the other business account managers gathered round and copies of this essay in front of all of us to have kind of a meeting about it, right? And we got onto like page 1.5 before his phone goes off and he goes, sorry, I don't have time for this, and then exits the meeting. Meanwhile, everybody has responded very positively to every single point that I raised in that document. And a couple of days later, I asked them what's happening with this, and he says, as far as I'm concerned, the issue is resolved. They didn't care. That wasn't an environment that I could work in. And sure enough, they knew that it was an environment that I couldn't work in either. So a couple of days after that, my employer takes me to the cafe next door, slaps down a piece of paper in front of me and says, sign it. I say, what am I signing? He says, we'll give you 6 weeks' pay if you leave. And I go, what do you mean, leave like at the end of the week or anything? And he says, no, right now. Pack up your desk, 5 minutes, get out of here. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, I must have really stirred up the hornet's nest here. And they're going to give me $3,000. I haven't had a summer holiday in a long time. So I took the money and I got the heck out of there. And I've never been happier about it in my entire life. It was the best summer ever. I got to pay off all my bills and expenditures. I got to get out of debt. And I got to have a really, really fun time at parties and festivals and stuff all summer long. Because a bunch of my mates are into that. Bang! Right? If you expose a little bit of scumbaggery, and people know that you can do this to them, you can actually benefit from it. And so now what I'm doing is I'm benefiting from exposing scumbaggery en masse and benefiting from it in a very interesting way. It's like, have you ever seen those little electricity balls in a glass case or something, in a glass ball or something like that? And it's got the little electric nodes that kind of like shoot off of it. And if you put your finger on the ball or something like that, a little lightning bolt goes to your finger. And, you know, it's like that. So I'm the little energy ball in the middle, and anybody who touches me, I instantly send out a little message to them and go, thank you very much for following me, or can I help you? Would you like to come on the show? Have you ever been on YouTube before? Are you an activist? Do you have a story? Do you have something I can help you with? Are you a business person? Can I give you a page and a banner on the website so that you can help to expand your business and grow? You know? Every single person that I see that is a truther, I try to help them in any small way that I can, whatever I've got time for, because I got so many people messaging me on Facebook and things like that. Most people that get to this level of doing it don't reply to all that stuff. They say, oh, it's too much. I've got this other work to do, etc. And what I found is interesting is it actually takes longer to read that Facebook message and then come up with an excuse of why you can't help them than it does to read that Facebook message and go, oh, I've got something I've already done on that. I've got a person that I've interviewed or a video that I did or something that actually addresses this very point that this person's about to king. What was that? Oh, it was this. And then I go to my YouTube channel, search on it, grab the link, pop that in there for them and give them my email address as well if they want to follow up on it. I'm trying to be as responsive as possible, basically. As a direct result, and I only found this out this morning, Alex, I am now New Zealand's number one alternative media. Okay? According to Alexa.com, the other two people in New Zealand who are actually talking about the real alternative stuff and not just pussyfooting around would be tumeki.blogspot.com. It meant Māori tumeki means too much. It's too much press, too much. And they're real classic and very, very much against the tyranny and that sort of thing. So you've got to give them the due credit. And also uncensored.co.nz, my friend Jonathan Eisen, who does Uncensored magazine. He has been in the game for many, many years and is now in the middle of doing two publications, both Uncensored and the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine. And I've now eclipsed the rankings of his website too, and he was pretty highly ranked. And also the other radio in New Zealand that was alternative that has a website would be Radio Wātea, which is Māori radio, urban kind of radio with talking and all sorts of different shows on there. And I'm substantially bigger than them as well. And that is only one of my websites. That is only the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. So that alone, I'm New Zealand's largest platform for alternative news now, just by rankings. Now, the difference being, of course, that I am, of course, appealing to many international followings and what have you, so maybe their New Zealand audience would be a tad bit larger than mine. But overall, let's consider that that's just my website. That doesn't include my YouTube channel, which has 10 times as much minimum, as much hits as my website does. And that's not including Guerrilla Media, which has, I don't know, about maybe about half as much as the VinnieEastwoodShow.com at this point, a little more than half. So because of my methodology of connecting and helping everybody who makes contact with me, if I can, I've built that basically out of nothing. Anybody can do that if they really, really wanted to. The problem is it takes a lot of work, a lot of guts, and a lot of sleepless nights. And most people don't want to do that with their life. They want to spend time with their families. They want to de-stress. And they want to relax, basically, when they get home, if they've got a full-time job, as most people do. That's why they can't do this. But I can. And I developed this thing, employophobia. Okay, because after that first telecommunications job, I went to another one, and this, the exact same result. They promoted me really quickly, and in a matter of months or something, I was basically their top guy from coming in to do from nothing, and developed all these methodologies for them that they helped out with, and then I found out that, oh my God, I had to pay for my own phones, I had to pay for my own gas, I had to pay for my own everything, and I was actually losing money working for them. You got to be kidding me. So I quit that, and a guy who was one of their sales coaches and stuff like that quit at the same time and started up a new company in direct competition with them, which he recruited me and a number of other the top salespeople from it. And then I started to get abuse from this guy. My mate who was working in his office had his... ankle broken, right, so in a cast, and he picks him up by the throat against the wall and kicks him in the shins of his cast, okay? Like, that's how violent and psychopathic this guy was. Always hustling around, you know, doing bodybuilding and getting one woman after the another coming down. Just basically a scumbag who has no care, compulsion, or empathy for anybody whatsoever. A sociopath, in other words. A brutal, dictatorial sociopath, just like I didn't want to get involved with. And working for that guy depressed me. I get calls at like 10 o'clock at night while I'm sitting on my mate's couch on a Friday, having a beer. And I get an angry call from this guy telling me to get up off the couch, find a pen and paper, and write down the number of a customer to call on Monday. And that was not an isolated incident. My life became invaded by this, and it had a lot of psychological effects on me. I was getting really, really stoned every day before going to work because I just couldn't handle it. I was getting really depressed. And one day, they've been making me go out these ridiculous routes, like miles and miles away from where I live. So I had to drive huge distances in order to make these appointments. And it turns out that they were giving all the appointments that were in my area that would have taken me 2 minutes to drive to somebody who lives on the North Shore, like 30 kilometers away, and sending me 30 kilometers in another direction. And then they offered me these sales and leads and stuff like that. And I just realized what they've been doing to me. And I was just like, I can't do this, man. I called my friend John Eisen up from Uncensored, as I mentioned before. And I said to him, I'd never quit a job before. You know, I'd never quit a job. I'd either be fired or asked to leave, or the job would end of its own accord, you know. And it's... I asked him, I really want to quit. What should I do? And he said, he didn't, you know, tell me what to do or anything. He just asked me a question. He says, well, does it feel right? Does it feel right to quit? And it's like, yeah, it does. He goes, there's your answer. So I quit, and I have never been able to get a job again I went for a job interview once, and I started to kind of have a bit of a nervous kind of feeling, or almost getting close on a panic attack at the thought of being employed during the interview. And even my best mate, Jono, he offered me a job because I was in a real rough patch earlier on this year, selling home insulation door to door and for checkups and stuff like that on a commission basis. And I was having a very, very kind of clear panic attack the night before going to do this job, and so I had to call him in the morning to tell him, man, I just can't do this. So whatever happened to me in all of these bad past experiences, whatever it was that I wanted to be, my destiny has now changed. But I bring that same talent and that same ability to rake in the cash, to talk like there's something good going on. I bring that to the truth movement, because so many of us are angry with each other. It ain't all campfires and kumbaya behind the scenes. This life is fracking tough, and people ain't got no coping mechanisms. Do you think being told that you're about to be exterminated and that there's all these hollow point rounds being thrown everywhere, and that there's PDD 51 that says the president's a dictator and there's fluoride in the water and there's GMOs in the food and all of that stuff, do you think any of that stuff makes you feel good? Do you think any of that information and how it's presented makes you capable of dealing with it? They give you the information of how to cut it out of your life, but they still tell you about all the other things that you can't do nothing about, that are still there, that are still growing in the background, still getting worse. It's like mold that's behind a bed or something like that on the wall, and you pull the bed away as, oh my God, the mold's there, and then you freak out. But what is happening now is that that bed is made of a transparent plastic, and you can see the mold the whole time while you're sleeping to it, and you can't do nothing about it. The only way you can do it is just try and find some kind of coping mechanism. And I don't know. I deeply think about things, and I take things very seriously, but I can also make a joke out of anything. I'm kind of like the MacGyver of joke making. You can come up with virtually any sentence, and I'll come up with some kind of lame joke about it. You know, it's extraordinary. A lot of people find it incredibly annoying, which is good because they only listen to me for an hour or two at a time.
Very good. Well, you sort of have a wonderful way of putting it. I'm half dead here filming the park screen, which is right out here in a big way in the lower mainland of Vancouver, British Columbia. I was up filming on Saturday, and I still have a sense of humor, but what happened was, while I was up there, suddenly my throat just went raw. It was like it turned inside out. My throat, my soft palate, all the, you know, the whole gear here from the soft and hard palate back down into the lungs was just completely raw. It was as if I'd breathed in some kind of caustic gas. And I got sick with this flu like that. It came on like that. It was just like bang. So I'm not feeling very good. I spent the last, well, since it happened, I've been in bed. And I got up to do the show anyway. And I'll spare you all the details, but I posted them on my Facebook page. But you still make me laugh, so that's a good thing. You've got a fantastic way of putting this stuff. You know, I'm really glad that we can do these recordings and stuff, because we can interact, and it's a thing that you've got your guests coming onto your show, and that you can actually see them on YouTube, which is quite new to me. I haven't seen many other people with this style, which is exceptional because of the humor and the split screen. It's A1. And I admire you for spending so much time on it, and also for finding a way to get people to cough up some money to keep you going, because I haven't been successful in doing that. The only people that helped me were doctors that saved my life, but I was grateful for that. And they were all non-allopathic, except for two of them who lost their licenses, as I said before. Werner?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just listening. And, you know, Vinny, it's good. There have to be more people as sentries on the wall and warn the rest of the sheep, you know, what's going on. And the way, where the pack of wolves, where they're ganging up on us. But too many people, they have become too complacent. They always want somebody else to do it. But, you know, like the way it is with you, the way it is with Alex, the way it is with me, you know, it all costs money, you know. And somebody has to put some gas in the tank, you know.
Yeah, and I've had a look at it like this. Your dollar for dollar, your alternative media is far more effective, okay? I mean, dig this. Have you ever heard of the New Zealand Herald? No. Have you heard of the New York Times? Yes. So, the New Zealand Herald is the New York Times of New Zealand. Guess whose YouTube channel has more subscribers? The New Zealand Herald or me? Me.
You.
Millions upon millions upon millions of dollars, huge quantities of staff, professional designers, programmers, advertisers, all of that sort of stuff. I got me and the listeners who support me, and I'm beating the pants off them.
Yeah, you know, sometimes when someone marches alone, he can be more effective, and he's less predictable than all those big advocacy agencies and news organizations. They become too top heavy, and they cannot react fast enough. And I sometimes like to go out and I, without any directions, and basically let myself guided by the spirit and by the opportunities that come along the way. And we can be sometimes amazed. That way sometimes we can achieve more effect than when we follow a tight script. Because when we follow a tight script, we can be predicted. We are predictable. The most effective we can be when we are unpredictable to the other side.
I think that this is the nature of the game, because have you noticed how predictable the New World Order is?
Yeah, and as I say, you know, so we have to be flexible, you know, move around, so it's harder to hit a moving target than to hit a fixed target.
Well, this
and
is
now
correct.
With them being now the basically the establishment and with the organizations they have become now fixed targets. And we shall not be shy and we shall be bold in going after them. And one thing, no attack is the best offense.
Well, fortune favors the bold. However, I don't believe that the best defense is an attack, because of the retroactive nature of violence. Like I put it like this: violence is to only be used in self-defense or retaliation. I think that any by those parameters, any violence that is committed upon New World Order scumbaggery types is infinitely justifiable. However, you have to be tactical about this, because although they're attacking us, they're attacking us sideways. They're not coming at us from the front, so people don't perceive that there is even an enemy as yet. I don't know what the point will be, but I do know that we can't be the ones to fire first, because that's exactly what they want, and we'd be playing into their hands. What I do see, however, is a collapse of credibility. They are losing ground in every sector to us. And what they're doing in response to this is they're essentially hastening their plans. Their plans being collapsing the global economy, shoving food prices up to no end, surrounding us with technotronic weaponry, surveilling us all the time, censoring our free speech, etc. there's the problem that lies in it, is there's so many things going on simultaneously that in order to free ourselves from it, for all of our countries to be free from it, we have to be aware of all of them working in concert at the same time. Like, you have to know how all the agendas are working. So in order to remove it, much like a cancer, you need to know exactly where the cancer is in order to remove it or treat it with an appropriate medicine or herb or whatever in order to annihilate it. But what we are now, I think, we're actually the cancer on the New World Order's back, and they're trying to get rid of us. So I say we cancerify this entire planet with our truth, with our honor, and with our love, man, because it's an absolute antithesis to everything that they want. They don't want us to come together, so we've got to come together. They don't want us to be in love and be happy with each other. So we're going to be in love and happy with each other. They don't want us to be healthy. So we've got to be healthy. It's pretty straightforward. You don't have to come up with a whole bunch of really complicated solutions on how to solve the world's problems and everything like that. You just have a look at whatever the enemy is doing and do the opposite.
Well, but Vinny, what I wanted to say, I don't advocate physical violence. This is what they are just waiting for. You know, and they got all the police forces and everything. We never shall go down that road. And what I've encountered over the years on many occasions, they tried to set, for example, they tried to set me up that I would lose my cool. And when they figured now he lost it, then they would go already to the authorities and make up stories. And then it was a kind of comical to watch them the way they had to lie themselves out, you know. But as I say, we have to establish a track record, you know, of being consistent, of being level-headed, you know, and then in the end it's gonna come clear out in the open who are the lunatics, you know. And that way, where gradually they start losing in the eyes of the of most of the people, they start losing their credibility.
Well, and this is the point now. I think mainstream media is so lowly viewed by people. I mean, you ask anybody, man on the street, excuse me, sir, do you think the media tells you everything 100% the truth as it lies? You find me a person who will say yes to that, I'll be very surprised. Because even dumb people who don't know the truth know that the media is lying to them. So, you know, they're flocking now to alternative media. And I see this kind of movement that is springing up all on its own, simply of reasonable people who are freedom-loving, who are quality-conscious, and have a conscience, more to the point, who see injustice being perpetuated on through the years, regardless of which El Presidente or other scumbaggery filthmonger really, really does. You know, go ahead.
And look, what I got over the last few years, quite an awakening about the way mainstream media, educational system, and so the way they have spun the history over the last, say, 150 years. And we need a real revisionist attitude toward the way the history has been portrayed to us, and we have to look at the facts and figures. And this is especially now we are in a fortunate situation with the advent of the internet, and so original archives, historical archives, are now available that the mainstream media did not where the mainstream media did not give us a correct picture of history. We have to look at the facts and the figures, you know, and basically debunk. And then basically the buck stops at the powers in the background that have been manipulating the history at least for the last 150, 200 years. And have caused so much bloodshed, so much enmity between people who should not really be people, who should be allies.
Yeah, yeah, and I was talking to Charlie McGrath on the show from Wide Awake News on the Rents Network before coming on here, and I told him, oh, sorry, what was I speaking about? I said, hey, Charlie. And he's like, yeah. I say, hey, you're over in America, right? He's like, yeah. I'm over here in New Zealand. Yeah. Have you got ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbags who are running your country and are threatened to basically take all your liberties and kill all you? Yeah. Well, I've got ruthless criminal scumbags that are taking over everything and sacrificing our liberties on an altar of Satanism to kill and threatening to kill everybody too. So, is there any fundamental difference that we could really ever come across, you and me, Charlie? Well, no. There really isn't. And people have to now restrain themselves and become active, I think, to find disagreements with other people in the truth movement. Because it's a hell of a lot of energy that you have to put into arguing with somebody who's wrong, isn't it? And everybody who's going around attacking other truthers or exposing this particular one person who they think is a bad person, blah, 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 and they spend their entire lives on it, it takes away from themselves and they don't become better people, okay? Everybody ends up exactly where they deserve to be. Okay, and it's a heck of a lot more of a smart idea to focus on relationships. Okay, it's the most important ship you'll ever board in your life is a relationship. And it's much better to build your own boat than shuffle around chairs on the Titanic. You know what I'm saying? If you're spending your energy on something else or somebody that is going down anyway, you'll go down with them. If you instead spend that time building your life raft, manufacturing your friends, i.e. your crew, and that kind of thing, you will survive. And people have forgotten that. They've forgotten that what you put your negative or positive energy into has a drastic impact on how your life progresses. And I'm going to tell people, try be selfish for a bit, okay? Think of yourself as an infinite do-gooding machine. And just like any machine, it needs refueling, it needs to be cared for, it needs to be, you know, washed on occasion, shaved if need be. You've got to really treat yourself. And at the same time, though, don't do it unnecessarily. You've got to earn every single thing that you get, okay? This 27-inch iMac with a quad-core processor, built-in 720 HD camera with speakerphone capacity and the ability to edit proper movies and audio archives and everything like that is the result of one listener tuning into me for the first time when I was interviewing Stuart Swerdlow. And Stuart Swerdlow said, Vinny, somebody needs to get you a new Mac. And he bought it for me. He'd only heard of me for 15 minutes. But because I was a New Zealander, and he's a New Zealander, and he heard me talking to one of his heroes in America, he gave me the ability with this device to do all that I'm doing now. Okay? That is so encouraging.
See, there are a lot of people, they want to do something, but they are too scared to step out in the open. And there are some people who, in a clandestine way, you know, every so often give us a hand along the way, but they don't want to be identified because they're afraid that the wrath of the dark side will focus on them. And I look at the way the relationship we should have is we have to basically pay into a goodwill account, goodwill toward man. But what has been happening over the last few decades, too many people have withdrawn from that goodwill account. And now there is not enough left in the goodwill account, goodwill toward man. And people have to realize when the account is empty, when they need goodwill, there won't be any goodwill left.
Well, this is the thing. I don't think goodwill is actually a limited resource. I think it is renewable, it is regenerative, and it is exponential. There was a study that was done with somebody walking down the road, and they smiled at people. And on average, for every one person you smile at, that person will probably smile back to you, provided they're not a slave. And they'll, on average, smile at about seven other people as well. So your one act of random teeth flashing has actually caused a ripple in the social fabric, right? Just that one small act. That's what Guildwill is. And you know what?
Yeah.
I have a shockingly large amount of change in the Good Karma piggy bank because I'm helping at least, I'd probably say, if you had to put it down to like days, I mean, I take my weekends off, but I'd probably say I help maybe 2 to 3 new people a day with their radio shows or music or videos or something to do with digital media, and maybe at least one person, and this is just me personally doing it, this doesn't include people who go to the website and use all that stuff of their own accord, at least one person I will talk to randomly who is not aware of me and get them to start listening to the show. And my life now, because I've got such a huge amount of good karma change in that little piggy bank, every single time when I need anything, and I mean need, and I mean anything, it instantly shows up exactly when I need it. And I don't have any plans in my life. Like, I don't like planning. I prefer to be ad hoc and off the tip, because when you make plans, what you're actually doing is you're preventing any possible synchronicities happening in your life. Hey, maybe we should stop off at that gas station. There might be some nice people to talk to. No, we're sticking to the plan.
you know that saying. You know that saying. There's no ill wind that does not blow some good. Sometimes when we think that things go wrong, but we shall not be impatient. Sometimes when things go wrong, they lead us onto a different path, and that might be even the better path to take.
Yeah. Okay, Alex.
Yeah, that was certainly my experience. We're going to go to break, so if you guys want to, we'll pick this up on the other side. I don't know what we're going to do with the music. Do you have something, Jimmy? Or
oh, no, no, I don't have anything, but I can play my hand harmonica if you want.
Okay,
what is it?
It's an
instrument. It's an opera.
Yeah. Well, it's like I'm a truther, right? So when I get busted for being a truther, and it will be illegal one day, I'll be sitting in prison. And everybody will be able to hear those sorrowful sounds coming out of my hand, Monica, because they'd have to cut off my hands in order to prevent me from using that instrument.
Oh.
Okay, well, should we take 5 and come back at the top of the hour?
Yeah, let's take 5.
Perfect.
Okay.
So, Werner, do you want to talk about what causes this sort of affliction in my throat, like how it suddenly got raw and how I got all these symptoms just in the space of a second, like that?
Well, as I say, you know, there is a massive increase in health problems in people, you know, from lungs to cardiovascular to all kinds, you know, sicknesses and illnesses. They are increasing rapidly. When at one time people were sick because of malnutrition, of overwork, of harsh living conditions, of poor sanitation, you know?
Yeah.
Now, most of the illnesses and sicknesses, they're being caused by the air we breathe, by the the water we drink, the food we eat, that's mostly coming from, more and more now, big multinational corporations taking over the food chain. You know, vertical integration.
They seem to have taken over. They seem to have taken over the everything chain.
And the other day, a few years ago, I was reading that every year at least 2,000 new man-made chemicals are being introduced into our environment. Now the figure is somewhere between 8,000 and 9,000 new man-made chemicals introduced. And most of those man-made chemicals, the natural system, including our bodies, have no ability to cope with it. And those chemicals, they go through so many intermediate stages, and they become basically like a chemical minefield. In one form or another, in their changes, they might become endocrine disruptors, they might become carcinogens, or it will create so much havoc to all the life forms on this planet. It's those mad scientists, they are basically like the sorcerer's apprentices, you know?
Yeah. Just before we start doing the Vinny interview again, do you want to try and elaborate on what happened to my throat, like how it just became raw, and what happened to the mucosa, which is supposed to protect me from all this stuff? Like, why in 1 second flat did my throat seem to turn inside out and become really raw? And can you elaborate on that, Werner, from your experience with what's been happening on your farm?
Well, this is what I've been documenting when I was investigating the deaths of the animals. Massive damage to the lungs, to the internal organs, massive hemorrhaging to the internal organs, and what I tracked it down and proven it was being caused by very powerful sterilizing gases that were being produced by the use of electromagnetic frequencies. In this case, most of the time, lasers and masers, where the atmospheric air was being modified, where the oxygen was being changed into ozone, and the nitrogen was being oxidized with heat-producing frequencies. And I cross-referenced it, and I documented it with the burns on the noses of the animals, and with the bleached out spots of the animals, on the animals, and I cross-referenced it what happened to the vegetation in those areas where this the atmospheric air was being modified. The changes, the massive residues of nitrogen that were then being deposited in the soil. And the only source of that nitrogen was oxidized atmospheric nitrogen. Yeah. I documented it all, and it's can be seen in Farmer's Ordeal when I was investigating the deaths of hundreds of my animals that has been covered up by veterinarians here now for over 40 years. And incidentally, through my investigation, my research, I came across what was the cause of early deaths of many of my neighbors and what was the cause of most of the health problems in this area. What we are dealing with are criminals that are living among us. They can be your next-door neighbor, and they're playing for keeps. What we are dealing with is a clandestine power takeover towards the new world order, the new world government. And it is not being done by the barrel of a gun. It's being done with all those new technologies, from directed energy weapon to chemical warfare to biological warfare. And the government does not want to touch it because in the aftermath of exposure to all those different type of weaponized science, there are lots of casualties left behind, and when those casualties stay alive, they become lifelong customers for the biggest industry, especially in the biggest part of the economy, or one of the biggest part of the economy in the industrialized countries, and that is sick people, the healthcare industry, or the sickness care industry. The second biggest part of that economy is the war industry.
Now the electronic grid too, the telecommunications grid is pretty big, and it's also a part of this targeting, isn't it?
Yeah, as I say, this the whole directed energy, you know, from microwave to the more sophisticated forms. And one great source of information is you will find it on the net, and that is Dr. Barry Trauer. He was right from the start an expert in microwave technology. There are lots of educational interviews with him there on the internet, YouTube. And I think it would be good for people and for the listener to pay attention to it and educate themselves.
Absolutely, yeah. Certain.
Because this information, we won't get it from the government agencies. They are more concerned about keeping their head low, you know, and collecting a paycheck. Because anyone who blows the whistle on those crimes, he won't stay very long in government services or in the services of any one of those big corporations and educational institutions that are benefiting from it and that are involved in those crimes.
That's right. So I'm just going to type into the chat here for Vinny to see where they are, the videos that you've done on this. It's on Joker Tattoo.
Yeah.
Joker Tattoo with three O's on the end of it, all one word, and you can go there and see all Werner's videos, which are getting more hits than anything else. And you can see this cattle mutilation and experimentation and stuff. And not just experimentation, but what seems like a Project Echelon / Monsanto kind of mega farming takeover of property and assets of the farmers as they drive them out of agriculture and take over. And in Werner's case, he's got a military base nearby, and it seems that some of the clique that is there in Petit Kodiak near where Werner lives, is where his farm is like a satanic sort of military clicks, so they have to put both of the box, and it's definitely like a Project Echelon thing while they're trying to squeeze him out of his property, make him sell cheaply, and drive him away by killing off his best livestock all the time, Vinny. So this is Werner Bach, and he's got some pretty good information out there, and I met him several years ago, and I started to study this stuff, but of course it was hard to wrap my mind around. And now we see what's really going on is that the RCMP cooked up stuff about cattle mutilation by aliens. And, you know, they tried to throw that thing in there to discredit everything and make Werner seem crazy rather than even try and help him with the problems that where his animals were being attacked and his friends and, you know, loved ones, et cetera. So, why don't you interview Vinny a little bit? Try and get him to talk about what he does and what's excellent about him, and then let him explain how, like we already saw how he came into it. So why don't we see what else he's got to say about this, and we'll, because we can do whatever we want. We have some, do you want to get into some questions, or do you want me to, or what would you like to do?
Well, as I say, you know, Vinny said that he is basically, his whole purpose is to bring the truth out, you know, and the way I look at, you know, we have to bring the truth out and not waver one bit, not bend any kind of factors or any kind of evidence in any way or another. There's a temptation in order to make a stronger case, maybe to bend some evidence, but we cannot afford doing that. Because that's when we lose credibility. Bring the truth out, the brutal truth, you know, and then let the chips fall where they may, you know. And when we try to put a spin on it, then we are just falling into the same trap, and it will cause, again, more problems. And this is what I mentioned earlier.
What I think that we kind of have to put a counter spin on it. I mean, because by all means, all the information we're receiving already has a spin on it. And I think it's like we have to kind of spin it the other way. Do you know what I mean? Like, I consider myself. Have you ever heard of Press for Truth, the organization known as Press for Truth?
Is that in Canada?
In Canada, yeah. Press for Truth with Dan Dix. He's a bearded guy, and he goes around and he interviews people and stuff like that. And have you heard of the term prostitutes?
Yes.
Like members of the press who are basically just prostituted to any cause, right? I consider myself a prostitute for truth.
No. Vinny, as I say, any kind of a spin is wrong. The way I look at it, we have to try to get our information as close as possible to the original sources before anybody has a chance, mainstream media, entertainment, government, whoever, before they ever have a chance to put their spin on.
Well, we're so reactive now in the truth movement that we actually put our own spin on things regardless. Like, I've found that if you look at both sides, you'll see one side is spinning to the, what's it called, the New World Order propaganda side of things, the mainstream corporate media, etc.
No.
Hold on. I just want to finish.
Yeah.
And the other side is the alternative media, which is not only reporting similar facts to what the mainstream media is, but they're adding in extra details and even broader implications and creating a context. I liken it to the difference between somebody who reports on the fact that there's a dot and somebody who takes the 10 people who've reported on the incidence of dots in their area and connects them and makes a picture for the audience. Like, that's what alternative media is really there to do. And that's not really spinning. That's telling the truth as you're saying it. But what I'm thinking is, if we come out and say, or at least this is my personal approach, I don't want to tell everybody that I'm like extremely credible and really onto it and have all my facts straight and everything, because I don't know, you know, a lot of this stuff, it's very difficult now to even tell the truth from fiction. I mean, there's a TV show in America called Ripley's Believe It or Not, and they tell you these crazy stories that are true. And everybody thinks that they're false. And the truth movement's not entirely dissimilar. The only way to really bridge that gap between the 100% 3D provable, factual, evidentiary hypotheses versus conspiracy theories, I think, is the fact that you've got to increase your awareness of possibilities. Not believe those things, but simply incorporate them into your possibility generator. Whenever another event will happen, it'll trigger off certain thoughts. And the capacity to have even more possibilities in your mind when thoughts occur to you means that you've become more intelligent. So in actual fact, if you listen to both the spin and the counter spin, you become smarter for it. So we need both, in my opinion.
And as I say, about when you mentioned there about one of the main weapons, but that thought is getting kind of dull when they want to call the people who come up with facts about conspiracies, when they call them conspiracy nuts, you know. And but conspiracies have been a fact of life ever since life was on this earth. You know, as soon as you had more than two men together, you know, conspiracies started popping up. Where two conspired against the next one or against another group. So, when they are talking about want to debunk us and discredit us about talking about conspiracies, you know, what kind of a planet are they coming from?
I'm coming from planet Earth. The planet that doesn't believe
in... They're not coming from planet Earth.
Oh, because I'm talking about the planet that I'm living on believes, and a conspiracy theorist is defined as a person who believes, absolutely believes, that there are a group of powerful people who have a lot of influence who use their power to maintain their influence. And on the same planet, there's a group of people who are coincidence theorists who think everything happens by sheer coincidence. There's no such thing as a backroom deal. There's no such thing as dishonesty. There's no such thing as money buying off politicians. Everything is pure coincidence. Which one of those two people sounds more insane?
Vinny, history has shown time and time again, history is full of conspiracies, and what we are dealing with here, from all the information I got in, and anybody who keeps their eyes open, the blue bloods, you know, the feudal system and everything, you know, they got kicked out to an extent, they're about 100, 150, 200 years ago, but they have never given up. And they are now in the process of consolidating their forces, and they are now aiming for one world government. And we are against the Serbs.
Well, I found absolutely. That
well, we always were.
If we talk about the world government, if we talk about the world government, yeah. We seem to some people forget that world government means world government, right? And they try to go, oh, you know what? I'm going to leave America, or over people going, oh, I'm going to leave New Zealand because the tyranny is no good here. You know, I want to go to Australia where the tyranny respects me, or I want to cruise over to England where the tyranny is more oriented towards CCTV. You know, I've got a YouTube fetish. This is the thing. We're all trying to select which tyranny suits us best, not realizing that it doesn't matter where you go. The tyranny ain't good for you.
There won't be any hiding. When everything is said and done, if people don't take a stand, there won't be any hiding place anywhere in the world. Especially with the modern technology, satellite surveillance and everything, there won't be any hiding place anywhere.
So people have to understand the front line is everywhere. Okay, you don't have any escape now. There is no retreat. If you surrender, they'll simply enslave you, rape you, or kill you. Okay, you don't have a choice anymore. You must fight, because all other options that have been presented up until this point no longer exist. We are past the point of no return. We cannot sit silent. Whatever skill you have, some people are, in fact, soldiers and police officers who can, if necessary, defend the people in case of some description of martial law incursion. That's their job. My job as somebody with the gift of a gab is to try and get the information out to people, and more to the point, help others who do not have those same platforms and capacities that I do to share those resources. That's why so many different people from all walks of life, whether they're only just starting out in activism or if they've been doing it for 50 to 60 years, you know, you bring them all on and you hear what they all have to say, because the one thing that the media has managed to do so masterfully is compress every activist into one soundbite that they're characterized by. And I give people a 2-hour soundbite by which to characterize them by. And you suddenly realize, this person ain't crazy at all. They've actually got it figured out. I should tell the mainstream media they're a bunch of pathetic trash who should stop trying to misinform me by misrepresenting the people who are trying to tell the truth. And when you take responsibility for that, you go out, you start covering all these people. This is just what I did. I went out and I started covering all these people that were speaking on the megaphones, speaking on the microphones in front of protests and stuff like that. They would ordinarily just get a little audio nibble on the news. And as I said, they've all become the information. Now, regardless of whether or not that was my responsibility to go and do something about the fact that we had no credible media in New Zealand, is for naught. Because regardless of whether it was mine in the first place, it is now.
Most of the media, they become too fat, dumb, and lazy. You know, the media, their mandate is within the society to be a watchdog, to be the sentry on the wall, you know, and to be the watchdog. And when you feed the watchdog too good, he becomes too comfortable. And then especially when the watchdog is being fed by the workers who want to break in. And this is what we are dealing with the mainstream media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the same,
I want to just interject here for a second, Werner. Can I say something? Because I wanted to read something about what we were talking about, and I forgot because I'm so sick. Sorry about that. I put something on Facebook that describes what happened to me, and I know this is jumping back a little bit, but it needs to be said before it gets too far. I just tried to show Vinny's audience the sky with the webcam here. on the thing. And I'm going to do another shot right now. Vinny, do you know where it is on the counter? I want to see here in the lower mainland of Vancouver, BC. And Aiden, can you help me get the... Are you around? Here, just a sec here.
It's working fine.
I want to see my the video screen. Okay. Okay, good. Thank you. Well, yeah, make it big if you want.
And also I wanted to interject here as well. I've been getting text messages from people daily now, Alex, about chemtrail activity here in New Zealand. Like on bright sunny days where there's no forecast of rain, boom, big chemtrail horizon to horizon starts pissing down with rain a couple of hours later.
Yeah, yeah. Can you see that, Vinny?
Well, the gold, I can see the gold on the horizon and a few fluffy clouds and the trees in the front ground that are in shadow, but other than that, no.
You don't see gray aerosol and then white and then blue because there's three or four or five different colors right there.
No, but it's anyway, the resolution. The resolution's pretty low, mate.
Sorry about that. I should have asked you beforehand. So I'm going to just read off what's been happening here so that people are aware what we're breathing in. And this includes children on their way to school. So I think it's very relevant to what we're talking about. It's my aerosol assault update. When I was filming and photographing this sequence, I suddenly got, and there are accompanying pictures, of course, I suddenly got a stinging, raw, and inflamed throat, and the following symptoms came on hard and fast, like instantly. I am so sick, my spinal cord is vibrating, I'm coughing up horrible things, fever, chills, horrific ear, nose, throat, symptoms, shooting pain, extreme headache, extreme neck pressure, burning, stinging, completely raw throat, seems like it turns itself inside out when you cough, super high frequency all night long, increased when I started to type this. So I typed it when I got up this morning because I could be sleep. It's just dreadful. Shooting pains in my body, weakness, fatigue, malaise, strange spots all over my soft, hard palate, uvula, palatoglossal arch, and, you know, that's the throat, never mind the whole throat, back of the throat. And it's extremely raw and presents various colors throughout course, the course of this particular globalist military aerosol electromagnetic advanced biological and technotronic assault on the surplus civilian population here in Vancouver, BC, Canada's lower mainland. This pathology came on instantly as three overpass and another aerosol assault.
You're breaking up a bit there, Alex.
Yeah, of course.
May I say something?
Sorry.
May I say something?
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I've explained it to Alex. This is what I documented over the years, where they use most likely lasers and they modify the atmospheric air. Change the oxygen into ozone and oxidize the nitrogen and they create a highly sterilizing, very powerful sterilizing and very corrosive gas, especially the nitrogen oxide component. When inhaled, it forms nitric acid, and it causes massive corrosive damage, causes severe inflammation of the throat and inflammation in the lungs and through the digestive tract. And this is not something what I'm saying. The research about this had been done already. The earliest research of exposure to those gases had been done already in the 40s of last century. But most of the bulk of the research was on exposure to nitrogen oxides and ozone had been done in the 70s, 80s, and 90s in the States and here in Canada at McMaster University. And it is well published in the scientific literature. And I posted it in the documentary I got there. You know, Farmer's Ordeal.
Yeah.
And when Alex spoke to me earlier, earlier today, I barely recognized his voice. You know, he has severe inflammation of the vocal cords. And in his YouTube site, he shows a picture of the inside of his mouth, and especially the roof of his mouth and the back of the mouth. And I identified by the condition, you know, the big veins in there and everything, in the bleached out areas, that he has been exposed for a long while to those highly powerful gases. And in extreme cases, they can cause death within hours or within the next few days. And the medical profession is not warning people about, neither the Department of the Environment. And when you were talking about chemtrails, there has been research from Arizona Skywatch over the last few years. Dr. Sandra Ilya Pellingeri, they did a testing of the air at ground level hours after heavy chemtrail spraying. When whatever spraying, when it ended up in ground level, it is outright disturbing the presence of very toxic levels of harmful substances. And if you want to bear with me, I have the list right here. They found that the aluminum levels were 15.8 times above the allowable limit. The antimony levels were 63.3 times above the allowable toxic limit. The arsenic levels were 418 times. The barium levels were 5.3 times. The cadmium levels were 6 times above the allowable toxic limit. The chromium levels were 6.4 times. The copper levels were 9 times. The iron particulate, iron dust levels were 43.5 times. The lead levels, 15.7 times. The manganese levels, 513.8 times. And manganese is a more powerful neurotoxin than lead or mercury. And exposure to high levels of manganese, one of the side effects is from causing massive damage to the nervous system and to the brain, is people that are exposed to high levels of manganese, they are highly susceptible, they have a lot higher incidence to commit violent crimes because it does damage to the part of the brain affects the self-control. And there were studies done decades earlier in South America with manganese miners, and they found out that they had 10 times the incidence of violent crimes like murder. And the same studies had been done with Australian Aborigines that were living next to a manganese mine, and they came up with the same results, the scientists. Now, this should give people to think, you know, for what are our taxes being, you know, to finance those that are killing us?
Yeah, what a shame. I just want to finish that little thing off, and then we'll go right back to what we're talking about here. Once these things, So what these gases did was it seemed to strip the mucosa right off the inside of my throat and my lungs. And as Werner said, it seems to be triggered by frequency and maser beams directed at me by mind-controlled military and law enforcement. It is just from drawing more attention to the globalist aerosol assault and the technotronic grid up here at 200th and the number one highway, the Trans-Canada Highway. We've been going out there filming it every time there was pathology in the air, as there is right now. And I wish we could show your audience, Vinny, so I might walk outside with that if that's okay with you, with the camera. The beams convert the air in front of the target's mouth to nitrogen oxide dioxide, which is highly corrosive. It completely destroys the mucosa, the barrier between your insides and the outside world, in the throat, lungs, etc., and allowing whatever the digestive system too, where your immunity comes from, and allows whatever bioagents and other pathogens are present in both the aerosolized warfare and also just in the sky alone, direct access to the body. Once these things gain entry, the treasonous, cowardly, and mind-controlled military minions multiply the advanced bioagents with their specific frequency through the technotronic grid. The colors in the back of the throat, and the photo of my throat, were due to the caustic, acidic, sterilizing gases created by the non-lethal, quote-unquote, beans. Yet another form of electronic behavior modification, you see, in recognition for our efforts to expose the ongoing covert aerosol, electromagnetic, advanced biological, technotronic assault. I can assure you this whole process cannot be prevented with organite, Faraday material, lead, vinegar, crystals, positive vibes, etc. Once the military targets you, you are in a world, and I'll bleep that out, recognizing the significance and consequences to us all. I brought on and studied this form of warfare 3 years ago, so I know it intimately. I wanted to expose it and show the advantage they had, as I was being killed anyway in the medical system. So I was going to that the past week's response was destroyed, government, legal insurance fraud. We will discuss it on my Advanced Activist Advisory on These Changing Times radio this afternoon at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To cheer me up, I have special guest Vinny Eastwood, the lighter side of genocide, along with co-host Werner Bock. These bio assaults have always picked up and occurred here when school began. The last few years that I studied, documented, filmed, photographed, and did everything I could to expose it. So the last few years, every time school began, there were aerosol assaults while the children walked to school between 8 a.m. and 9:30 in the morning, maybe 10. So they're engulfed in this weaponized aerosol, which is where, and then all of a sudden, everybody in Canada here in the area is all those. And so that's
hello.
That no small significant consequence. Yeah. Hello.
Alex.
Are we on? Yeah.
You're breaking up there.
Yeah, it was breaking up a little bit. It is breaking up worse than a Hollywood couple.
Oh no.
Alex, may I?
Let me just say,
I got a better one. He's breaking up worse than the Mir space station. He's breaking up worse than the credibility of Barack Obama.
So I tried to document the spraying aerosol assault cycles and their corresponding symptoms as frequently as possible. But as they vary from cycle to cycle, sector to sector, it is very difficult to nail down, particularly without unfettered access to the health, quote-unquote, care demographics, and especially without help. Much of this documentation is available on my YouTube channel, Joker Tattoo. And then there's 7 photos on that post, and it's on my wall on Facebook, which I only use for activism. Okay, you guys, take it away.
May I say something? Alex, what I said about lasers, I've seen as far back as about 15 years ago, one evening when it was already dark, and I was checking my cattle in the pasture, and when I was walking towards the road, I saw this car coming down the hill, and it had 4 or 5 laser lights on the bumper that at regular intervals fired towards the shoulder of the road. And a while later, when I had told some people about who it was, whose vehicle it was, then I saw the laser lights behind the grill of the truck. And I've followed this up now for many years, roughly about every 3 hours, at 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, around the clock. Those vehicles, they are driving along the road, and the area or the houses they have targeted, upwind from the people or from the animals when they're grazing right next to the road, they focus that those frequencies on the shoulder of the road, on the other side of the ditch, and that's how they've killed a lot of animals too. And I would see the next day where this energy had been focused there, there would be circles or ovals in the grass where the grass would turn purple. And then a month and a half later, in those areas, there would be an excessive amount of nitrogen, which at present could be only explained through atmospheric nitrogen. And when the energy had been focused on the same areas time and time again, then that area would heavily acidify, and wild strawberries would grow there, and ultimately hardly anything would grow there because the soil had been so poisoned in those areas. And that's it. Yeah. In a roundabout way, as a farmer, I gradually started putting pieces together because I got no cooperation, worthwhile cooperation whatsoever, from any kind of a government agency, neither from the Department of Agriculture, nor from the Department of the Environment, nor from the law enforcement. All they were doing is trying to sweep it underneath the carpet and discredit me.
Yep.
Hey, that...
And,
hey, he's outside now. Werner. Alex just kind of stepped outside now. It looks kind of like... Is it sort of rainbowy coloured out there at all, or is that just a glitch of the light and the pretty average quality camera?
A volume of metal, aerosolized aluminum oxide in the atmosphere, which is incompatible with human life and largely responsible for dropping our immunity, so that these things take hold in our system. You know, it's horrible. The kids are all sick. Everybody that's gone to school, when they see this stuff, this is the kind of stuff that I was showing, describing that the children were running away from. All that gray out there isn't just grain cloud, it's all metal. What you see through there, you might see a bit of blue up there. You'll see a bit of sun shining on white aerosol. All that gray is all metal. All of it. It's completely horrendous. It's horrific. The volume of the metal atmosphere here.
See, when you have those particulates, especially metal particulates and so, when you have them in the atmosphere, they have a different light refraction than water vapors, than normal clouds. And there is a challenge that has to be put out, and basically we have to demand that the Department of the Environment and the government scientists, that they finally get off their butt and do some spectral analysis, if they don't want to test it at ground level. They shall make some spectral analysis, and they can identify what kind of chemical substances are in the skies above us. They can identify the chemical composition of a planet that's far away, but they are incapable to identify what just only about a half a mile or 2 miles or 3 miles or 10 miles away, right above our head.
Kind of hurt. Believe it. But we know that the science had to go through Washington, and then all science had to go through Ottawa, which is our capital city. And after that, it just became propaganda. So there's not really anybody that will actually give you real science on anything. And a lot of real scientists have jumped ship. They've just decided that they're not going to bring their whole vocation into question and ill repute. So they've decided to quit. And we met quite a few of them. I've actually talked to quite a few people, because when I see them doing research in a library or, I'll go up and initiate conversations with absolutely everybody and try and add it to my repertoire of experiences that help feed into our being able to show people what's going on. And I've spoken with a few scientists that actually jumped ship, and they just said, some of them were punished for saying certain things and researching chemtrails, for instance. And this is a Canadian scientist who decided that she wasn't going to be part of it. You can't get an analysis of water or a blood sample. I told one from Facebook who wanted to bring my water into the hospital to get a blood test, said that it was okay. Well, it's like two selections. The U.S. selection. They have a computer software program that's going to give you whatever the results they want. So.
And... Alex, may I say, this will be very much of interest to the listeners to look up on the internet. There is a documentary that was made about, a year and a half ago what I think G. Edward Griffin, what in the world are they spraying? And now they followed it up, why in the world are they spraying? Those are documentaries, and it got science reports there and everything, you know. And I think it's with a lot of those things, we don't have to be rocket scientists in order to understand it. It's a basic science, but there is a big problem. So the school system, educational system, you know, the standards are dropping more and more. And basically, what gives about already what's an indicator, you know, what they found out, how many of the students after passing grade 12 examined that are not able to read and write properly. There is a lady, Charlotte Eisenbeit. She has been all along in the educational system, and she was the educational advisor there for a year or two to President Reagan. And she wrote a book, yeah. The Dumbing Down of America.
Yeah.
And so many people there. So many people, they are so intimidated. They are so intimidated when it comes to science, you know. And I think people have to get off their butt, because we cannot try. We cannot trust those experts anymore. They have been selling us out. And what I said there 8 years ago at an Agent Orange hearing in Gagetown here in eastern Canada at the Canadian Armed Forces Base, I said, when this granium of so-called experts was up front, I said, we cannot trust your experts anymore. Too many of you have become scientific whores for hire.
We're all kind of living. We're living a life now. What I find to be the upside down world. Everything that you see, whether it be a government policy or an institution or anything like that, its stated intention is always the opposite of what its real intention is. And we attempt to try and rationalize, is this scumbaggery corporation maybe perhaps just giving rats purposely tumors and stuff like that and then passing the GMO food onto us? And maybe they're just, you know, maybe they're just joking about the huge chemtrail reactions that aluminium and barium and strontium being sprayed into the atmosphere were. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. I don't know, because that science and the hard facts is something that's impalpable to them. They don't want to understand. They feel that they can't. They feel so much for your entire life. You learn to trust authority figures and think that they know things better than you do. And what's funny is you start questioning your teacher as a child in a classroom, and if you're smart enough, you'll figure out that your teacher doesn't know jack.
Yeah.
You've got to stop trusting those authority figures as though they know everything. You know, I don't like the idea of authoritarianism in any form. It doesn't resonate with me very well, whether that be authoritarianism physically, mentally, spiritually, or chemically. If somebody's going to induce an electronic trance status so that I will do as they bid, I'm against that. I'm all for free will, but I'm all for personal responsibility. So you can freely will yourself to frickin' behave and be a good person, or you could freely will yourself to be an agent of scumbaggery and wind up being hung in public square with a dangly feet and such.
Yeah.
And as I say, we are so intimidated when somebody comes along and he got some kind of university degree, a PhD or a doctor or a professor. And I think it's high time that the whole many of them, that they're getting kicked off their soapbox.
Yeah.
We shall not be intimidated anymore. Because what I've encountered over the last 30-some years, you know, at least 9 out of 10, they don't cut the mustard.
No, they've taken the testing that once was and dumbed it down so that it's so easy that somebody of a fifth of the intelligence and capacity of somebody like 20 years ago going to college or university to learn this kind of stuff can pass with flying colors. We've simply made it easy for dumb people to think that they're smart. And that's a real bad road to start going down, man, because as soon as you start realizing that, oh my God, all these people that are walking around here that think that they're smart are really idiots. Oh my God, they're actually in control of things that actually threaten my life. So my life, in essence, is controlled by morons. It's a frightening thought. And people try to, again, think, oh, they couldn't do that, though. They wouldn't be doing it intentionally. Okay, look, here's your problem. You've got a moral conscience, and you wouldn't do such a thing. That's why this is confusing for you. Just think for a moment that I am a psychopath. I don't care about anybody's feelings. I could murder a child in a horrible way and feel no remorse, no guilt, no regret. The world is my absolute oyster. I have all the money that I could ever need. I can buy and sell corporations that can change the face of the planet at will. I can kill anybody who I feel needs to be murdered, and I have all the power there is. I want more. I want it all. Once you start thinking from that mentality, suddenly the whole game starts to be clearer.
Yeah. Absolutely. Those are the people that succeed, aren't they? They're the ones that ride to the top, rise to the top, and the rest of the good people are all blacklisted or fired or gotten rid of.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, I operate from the exact same mentality. No, just hear me out here. That same mentality that I just described to you, I've got all the power in the world, etc. I have that exact same mentality, but I have it for the opposite reasons. I have all the power of the world, not through my wealth, but through my friends and the good people that are positioned all around this world that listen to me and give me a hand when I need it. There's very little that I cannot accomplish. I've amassed a lot of power in that respect. If anything should happen to me, there will be heaps of people coming to my aid. However, I don't use that power to lord over people. I use that power so that I can share it and give it to other people. That's why I did the Vinnie Eastwood Radio Alliance, so that we can get all these different hosts of different shows on different networks to start sharing guest information, particularly big guests that are real hard to get. I'll vouch for you. I'll get them on your little show. If you're just starting out, it makes you feel amazing if you're just starting out and you get somebody like Lindsay Williams or G. Edward Griffin or people of an amazing thing. I mean, like yourself, Werner, there'd be plenty of young radio show hosts who would kill and be absolutely blown away to have you on their show. And so, you know, you share that. You don't take power, you simply increase it but give it to others. Because I don't want to be like big head honcho, everybody look at me, everybody listen to me, I've got all the answers, I've got all the facts. It's more like, I don't know what the hell's going on, I don't know who I'm talking to today, but let's just listen and let's have a few laughs, okay? I have a very flippant, very, very small box by which I interact with people with. It's usually pretty positive, usually pretty funny, usually pretty creative and philosophical and very deep, and always, always very open and non-judgmental of my guests, man, because you find that it's on the points you agree that you should come together and collaborate and share. Those points that you disagree about, we could probably argue. We could probably argue about those things at another point. I mean, the point that I want to start arguing about those things with Alex and with you, Werner, about these maybe little perceived disagreements that we may or may not have. Well, let's argue about those once we've beaten these ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery control operators that want to kill all of us. Okay, because then we'll have plenty of time to debate it, I think, in a nice, non-hostile, open, intellectually honest environment. I think it was Mark Twain that says, when an honest man is confronted with the truth and that he was wrong, he will either cease to be wrong and correct himself, or he will cease to be honest.
Vinny, this is basically not a kind of a contest, a kind of a soapbox contest, you know. This is to get the information out and share the information and wake the people up. And here, since you mentioned there about those psychopaths, I came across a few months ago about a Dr. Eric Pianka. he gave at the Texas University.
Werner, hold on a second. You dropped out there. The University of Texas what?
At the Texas Academy of Science.
Ah.
He gave a speech, and he addressed the audience. They're mostly doctors, professors, and students. And he advocated the killing off of 90% of the world's population. And his preferred means of accomplishing that was, as he said, was the aerial release of Ebola virus. The people would, over the next few days, die of a terrible death. And this will give an idea about the mindset that's more and more spreading in the so-called science community. After he gave that speech, he had a rousing ovations, and his audience, he stormed on the stage and congratulated him. And those kind of elements, they are running now in control of science. Those kind of psychopaths that come from university.
People don't know that psychopathy is actually insanity. Okay, these people are not in touch with reality. They're crazy. They're out of their minds. And just like Nero played a fiddle while Rome burned, these people will do the same, and they will huddle around the people who are sitting there wanting to exterminate them like a little bunch of sycophantic catamites. And they'll die too, with the rest of us, if they get their way.
But, you know, Winnie, what I've noticed over the years, I've noticed it with the animals, and I've seen it on people. Those gases, those highly sterilizing gases that are being released, they cause brain damage. And I remember there about 30, 35 years ago when I first came across it, I looked at some people, and there was no more soul in their eyes. It causes brain damage. And when they have brain damage, then basically it's gone. The basic instinct.
Well, the basic capacity for and empathy.
No more compassion there. Yeah. No more compassion in people.
Yeah. Well, they turned the empathy inside out, and they turned it into malice, and they get themselves into these occult rituals and circles and secret societies and sex parties and drug use and all the kind of things, because they don't have empathy, they don't have real love, they can't derive any real satisfaction from anything like we would. Like, I'll do something and then go, oh man, I just helped somebody, that makes me feel good. They can't have that. All they have is pleasures of the flesh. Those poor bastards. They'll never know true happiness. Yeah. And that's why they keep destroying everything, because they can't have happiness.
Yeah.
They don't want any of us to either. But I think we have to wrap up the show now. So I'll give myself a shameless plug, because I think there's nothing shameful about shameless self-promotion by very definition. Listen to me 5 days a week, ladies and gentlemen, 5 till 7 Central Time, which is 3 till 5 Pacific, and 6 till 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And, of course, Alex's show. Are you on 5 days a week as well, Alex?
No, I only do one show a week, and it's only for 2 hours on Monday afternoons on These Changing Times Radio, between 5 and 7 p.m. PST.
Okay. Well, the 2 hours...
The advanced activist advisor, so...
Yes.
Yeah.
So the 2 hours on your before your Monday show will be filled on American Freedom Radio with the soothing sounds of the Vinnie Eastwood show. It'll be fabulous.
There you go. Yeah, they can learn a whole bunch of good stuff. Well, you've been a great guest, and I'm very happy to have you on. Sorry for any technical difficulties, but I'm glad you have that backed up for YouTube. And
yeah.
Werner, do you have any closing comments?
Well, appreciate very much. You know that Vinnie was on the show, and I think we are right around the globe. We are dealing with the same enemies, and we are dealing with the same problems.
Yeah.
And most of the people, when they first get targeted and then they think they're the only ones. But now more and more people, they realize we are a big community of targeted individuals. And when we become educated about the issues and we start joining forces and speaking out and hold the government and its agencies and society accountable, what kind of a society, what kind of a world do we want to live in if we let this go even more out of control as it has done already? And we let those psychopaths continue on their path. And what I said there, the ones at the top, you know, they figure, you know, the planet is theirs. And they figure with maybe a maximum figure of human beings on this earth of 500 million, you know. And those that think that they are still on the inside, they better think again. As soon as they have done their job for the psychopaths at the top, they get thrown underneath the wheels. Then they become a liability. They become loose ends.
Right. Yeah. It stands to reason that if you just do the math, if they right now there's 7 point something billion people. If they reduce it down to 0.5 billion people, they're going to have to get rid of 90 to 95% of the police officers, peace officers, military, law enforcement, etc. Whatever. They won't need all those men anymore and do away with them just like they always have throughout history. So these people are killing themselves. So it looks like that's it. Any last thing to say, Vinny?
A guy walks into a bar and he's got a chunk of tar seal kind of under his arm sort of thing, and he pops it up on the bar stool and he says to the bartender, "Hey mate, can I have a beer please and one for the road?" And then so the bartender sends this piece, gives this piece of road and the guy there drinks, and he taps the road on its thing, and he says, "Hey mate, look behind you. There's another piece of road over there. Maybe you should go have a drink with him." And the piece of road like looks around behind him, and sure enough, there's another piece of tar seal sitting there in a booth with another guy, and it's got a big yellow line down the middle of it. And the road turns back to the bartender and he goes, "Mate, I'm not going to go have a drink with him. He looks like a psychopath."
Yeah.
Very good. Well, we'll be back on These Changing Times radio next Monday afternoon at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And we'll definitely have you back on, Vinny, as often as possible. So, it's really been good that we got in touch with each other. And certainly makes it a lot more cheery.
All right.
Thank you.
Well,
good night, mate.
Vinny, you are an old hand at this. We are just amateurs. I hope didn't disappoint you.
look at it this way. I don't pride myself on professionalism because the world's currently won by professionals. How's that working out for you?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. As I say, when the professionals are not doing the job, then the amateurs have to step forward.
That's right. Never underestimate the power of an out of control apprentice.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, guys. We'll catch you on the flip side. Take care.
Thank you. And good night and good morning, everyone.
Yeah, right. Like the Truman Show. In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Right.
Right on. Good. Thank you.
Night, guys.